The Word of Prophecy Broadcast. In this hour of the world's greatest crisis, hear a unique revelation and message by Brother Ray Pringle, a man anointed to be a prophet of God. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight, as saith the prophet." "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord."
The message is entitled God's Examples, beginning with a scripture found in the Word of God from 1 Corinthians 10 in verse 31. "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." That bears repeating. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all. A-double-L to the glory of God." That certainly is a wonderful command from the Holy Ghost to you and I as the disciples of our Lord. I want to speak to you on the thought or the message entitled God's Examples. We're living in an age today where about all you hear is big mouths. You don't see many examples. Sterling examples. You see examples, all right. There's examples everywhere. You can get any kind of example you want. There's examples of being a teetotal failure. There's examples of worldly, pagan, professing Christians. There's examples of halfway Christians. There's examples of disturbed and discouraged Christians. There's example of a few sterling, holy, sanctified, crucified Christians. And they're becoming very few. I think we've come to the time, I'm almost certain we have, when the great prophet David exclaimed in Psalm 12 in verse 1, he said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak." Let me tell you, the godly man has almost ceased to exist in American society. And even in the church, it has become a national disgrace that you can hardly find godly people even in the church of Jesus Christ in America today. It's kind of like the diplomat was over here 2 years ago from Korea during the Korea Gate affair when it had reached its kind of highest, most probing point. Here they call it the Korea Gate because of the peddling of political influence by the politicians from Korea to ours, so that there's always money, you know. There'd be exchange of materials and exchange of resources through channels in which all of these politicians would benefit. And they call it a Korea Gate. And this Korean diplomat, being one of the most perhaps honorable of those that came from Korea as he looked about America, made this comment to an American reporter. He said this, he asked him how he enjoyed the nation. He said, "Well, there's just one thing I don't understand in America. I'd heard about this being a Christian nation, but for the life of me, I cannot discern between a Christian and a non-Christian." Now, I'll tell you what's so. He's not the only one that's having that problem. There's a lot of folks are. That is, professing Christians. Well, the Bible says if we do all to the glory of God, the next verse says, "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." That means don't get out here and live as a Christian with your behavior and your dress and your speech to be so that it's offensive, that it becomes a stumbling block to a Jew or to a Gentile or to another Christian. That's exactly what the Bible's saying there. And then verse 33, 1 Corinthians 10, continuing, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Now, you could look at that scripture, and you could twist it and tangle it and pervert it and say, well, Paul just tried to please everybody. No, he was talking here of pleasing all men as furnishing them the godly example that they were required to have by his responsibility to every living person. And anybody we're around that's alive, we have a responsibility to please them. In other words, we have a responsibility to be an example to them. Now that, whether many times we think that's the way it works, even a sinner has a great respect for a person who will live godly in their presence in all situations. I've seen this work in many levels and many stratas of society. When I was in the Army, I didn't get the respect at the beginning of those men I were with because I prayed and asked the blessing before I ate, and because I wouldn't go to their parties and I wouldn't be involved in their dirty jokes and filthy conversation and other things that they were involved into. But I won their respect because I persevered by giving them the example of godliness. It cost me a little persecution to begin with. I've been in restaurants. I've seen vile people cursing, talking filthy conversation. And I remember in a restaurant one day, and here was a man and his wife came in and just observing me alone in the restaurant, observing this young couple with three children as they quietly sat at a table waiting for their food. When the food came, they didn't eat like a bunch of idiots or a bunch of animals like Americans do. The little children put their hands correctly and appropriately and modestly and with dignity and finesse and with good manners. Praise God, it takes all that to make good manners. They put them under the table. The father and mother likewise. They all bowed their heads. And then the father prayed, and you could hear him, not loudly, but you could hear them and know they were asking the blessing across the restaurant. And it was amazing at the respect as you begin to see them wicked men with their vile conversation as they canned it. And they quietly and reverentially stopped and even bowed their heads. Let me tell you, that's pleasing all men. Praise God. God has made us responsible. Paul the Apostle made it plain that he didn't get out and try to live like other people to please them. He was pleasing all men. In other words, he was doing what they required as being a fellow human being that he was responsible to leave an example to. And it was an example that pleased God and it pleased men. He said, if I yet please men, I'd not be the servant of Jesus Christ in Galatians 1 and 10 in his preaching. He didn't please men in his preaching. He was pleasing men in his conduct, in his example, in the pattern that they saw of the Apostle Paul. Anywhere he went where there was a live human being, then he was responsible to that human being to leave them an example of godliness. And you and I are likewise responsible, and God is going to hold us accountable for it. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. If you're in a beauty salon, as my wife does in Witnesses for the Lord, you don't have to have a big mouth. Take some of these, as Brother Brown says, these anointed magazines with you. Praise God. They'll do your talking for you. I tell you, we got so many old big mouths today. Oh, I tell you, we need to win the world for the Lord. You need to be saved. All these big mouths flapping, and you look at the big mouth flapping, and you look behind that big old mouth, and you see something there, and you think to yourself, well, looks like to me you ought to get saved. Just got a big old mouth. Let me tell you, if we're going to be God's examples, then the Bible said we've got to be a disciple of the Lord. Well, what is a disciple? Well, we say in our Bible school terminology, it means to be a disciplined one. And we use the scripture in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, take my yoke upon you and learn of me.